Dick Gregory.
Sit right down there.
Hey, we'd like to say thank you very much. Can you, you people way back in the cheap seats here, okay? All right. I just finished listening to Nixon talking back there on the radio. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I sure was glad when Nixon came back in the country about 10 days ago. And I guess it didn't have nothing really to do with Nixon. It just scares the hell out of me anytime the President of the United States leaves the country, because I always get a sneaky suspicion he might know something. I always be kind of nervous till he get back. And especially with Nixon being president, anytime Nixon leaves the country, Agnew becomes the number one boy in charge. I know that'd make you sleep good at night. You know, Agnew just reminds me of the type of cat that would make a crank call to the Russians on the hotline. Other than that, I kind of dig Agnew myself. Now, I mean that a lot of people put Agnew down, and you see, I dig Agnew because I believe Agnew's putting everybody on. See, I don't believe it's humanly possible for one man to be born that dumb. You realize if Agnew was as dumb as he wants us to believe he is, he wouldn't be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. Now, if Agnew was really that dumb, I wouldn't be surprised if you pick up the paper one day and read where Agnew had hijacked the train and say to the conductor, "Take me to Cuba." Now, I don't mean to scare you young folks or upset you or nothing like that, but you do know Agnew finished college, don't you? Which one? University of Baltimore. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I talked to a couple of his roommates the other day, and they tell me he was a dumb cat. But... Now, I talked to a couple of guys who lived in the same dormitory with Agnew when he was in college, and they tell me Agnew was so dumb that one night all the guys in the dormitory decided to hold the panty raid. And they said Agnew was the only cat that came back with a jockey strap. I guess you can't get much dumber than that, huh? And let me say what a pleasure it is to be with you youngsters this evening. I guess I can truthfully say that I spent about 98% of my time today on college campuses. And for a reason. And the simple reason is that you young folks in America today is probably the most morally, honest, ethical, dedicated, committed group of young people that's ever lived in the history of this country, born none. And I hope you youngsters don't have to continue to read these old right-wing, cracker-controlled newspapers to find out who you are or what you all about. Because the average established newspaper in America today is not even morally sound enough to even to discuss you young kids with yourselves. And what these newspapers call you, hippie, yippie, irresponsible, bearded, smelly kids, whatever that means. My reaction to that's always been, because you have a beard, why does that mean you have to stink? They don't say nothing about Abraham Lincoln. He didn't only have a beard, he was ugly too. And so I say to you youngsters in America today, you got a big job. It's very important that you understand who you are and what you are. It's very important for you young folks to understand that we old fools in America have left you in such a hell of a mess in this country that the very faith and destiny of America today depends on you young folks. Oh, you hear all the old fools talking about the problems confronting America today and how difficult they're going to be to solve. Every major problem confronting America today was created by man, which means they can be solved overnight. If you decide to solve these problems with moral, ethical, statesmanship, ability, and not this sick, tired, degenerate political muscle. Look at all these freaks running around hollering about law and order, and we're going to always talk about law and order till we start talking about bread and butter. 44 million people go to bed in America every night hungry, while many of us stuff our guts so full, our belly, you damn right, you shouldn't be able to walk down the street safe until you see to it that your brother goes to bed full every night. That's what the problems are. Senator Eastland of Mississippi, we pay him, I say we, because the federal government pays him $16,000 every month not to plant a crop, but a baby in Mississippi gets paid $8 a month to live on. Law and order. Until we start telling General Motors about law and order, and Ford and Chrysler, who before they get them damn cars off the drawing board, they know they ain't nothing but death traps. Those are the real murderers in our society. You youngsters got a big job. We have left you a mess to clean up. And so I beg you, as you get into the position to deal with this system, get very concerned about bread and butter. And you'd be surprised if we get very concerned about bread and butter, how least concerned we have to be with law and order, because one will damn near offset the other one. And if you want to have some fun and do some interesting research, check out the 15 large major cities in America today and check around with the grocery chains and see what chain sells the most dog food in the 15 large urban cities, which house 42% of America's population, and you find out the stores that sell the most dog food are the chain stores located right next to the housing projects, where the people in the housing projects are not allowed to have dogs. That's where the most dog food is being served. Then maybe when you understand how many people in America in 1970 is reduced to feeding their kids dog food, then maybe you'll understand law and order. The youngsters got a big job. Thanks to us old fools. And let me say to you today, if America falls from the inside anytime soon, and there's a possibility she might, it won't be nothing new has happened before. The Romans, the Greeks, the Egyptians got too strong to be destroyed from without and went morally bankrupt and crumbled from within. And so I say to you youngsters, if America falls from the inside, we so-called good folks in America cannot blame the bad folks. You see, one groovy thing about the bad folks in America is the bad folks in America have been thoroughly bad for 400 years. They ain't surprised nobody. The problem in America today is that the good folks just decided to get good. And so I say you youngsters have a big job. As I travel around the country, I run across so many young folks that's talking about repression. And everybody seems to want to blame repression on Dick Nixon or Attorney General Mitchell or Agnew. Now, there's a whole lot of things you can blame them three for. But repression is not one of them. Matter of fact, I guess if you really want to know who to blame repression on, you young kids would damn near have to blame yourselves. Because you see, before you youngsters came out to the center of the street with this great moral force, nobody was talking about repression. So, which means if you would have brought this moral issue to the front, 5 years ago, LBJ would have brought repression down on you. And to be honest with you, had you brought this mall issue to the front when JFK was president, Kennedy would have brought repression down on you. I meet so many people. Matter of fact, I meet a lot of people that make like they don't know where Nixon came from. Yeah. Where'd he come from? Yeah, people just act like he came down here from Mars with some bazookas and just said, up against the wall, I'm your president. You know damn good and well where Nixon came from. He is a homegrown American boy. And how did he get to be president of the United States? You know how he got to be president of the United States. He ran in the last presidential election, and most of his mamas and daddies voted for him. That's how he got in. So if you really want to check out this insane situation, check out your house. And I guess it had to happen sooner or later. For 100 years in America, we've been voting for the lesser of the two evils, and now we've ended up with the evil of the evil. Silent majority, the silent majority. Well, silent majority ain't never bothered me, because I know when Nixon got in, he's going to mess with the money so much that silent majority going to be the most vocal group you ever heard in 72. And I wasn't never worried about Nixon being nothing but a one-term president. And the same people that voted him in going to vote him out. Because now they're beginning to realize they voted their dinner off their table. I ain't never seen so many white folks out of work in my life. It just gasses me. Just look around. Yeah, everybody was so busy worrying about the niggas, they forgot about their dinner. Now everybody gonna be so busy worrying about their dinner, they gonna forget about the niggas, and we really gonna be in good shape. I don't know if nobody in the whole world but Nixon could have messed up things so bad, taking the rides out the black ghetto and put them in the white suburbs. Never thought I'd see today white folks be running down the street carrying signs talking about get whitey. Yeah, I'm just sorry we can't get us a Dick Nixon for every state in the Union. We'd own the country in a week. So I say to you youngsters, there's a lot of people that young folks don't seem to understand why us old fools are reacting to you the way we react. It's simple. You scared us. You brought them all issue up and then scared the hell out of us. And we're reacting to that. Now, whether you like it or not, it is all men's basic right to become afraid. And once man becomes afraid, it is his right to react to that fear. If I look out here today and think I see a ghost and my reaction is to get the hell out of here, and on the way out I stomp 10 of y'all to death, there's not a courtroom in the world can put me in jail. Because I have a basic right to become afraid, and once I become afraid, I have a basic right to react to those fears. So when you read about the hard hats in New York City and the repressive force that's coming down in America, that's nothing more but you young folks done scared us to death with this mall force, and we basically reacting to our fears. So I say you youngsters have ended up in a situation today in America that no youngster's ever been in before in the history of America. You're gonna have to have a certain type of wisdom that no youngster's ever been demanded to have, a certain type of reasoning, a certain type of coolness, because baby, we have left you a mess. And then listen to these old freaks when they try to solve problems. Listen to them. And then you find out where the problems are. Say, oh, the way the world is being overpopulated today, there's going to be a disaster. Say, what? Say, yeah, it's going to be too many people. So what are we going to do? Get them pills, wipe out folks. Now, you know, it sure pays to be dumb and ignorant sometimes. Because I'm sitting around here and listening to this man talk about how overpopulated the world is, Didn't any of y'all, who read the New York Times this morning? Raise your hand. Did y'all read New York Times? You see that front page story on New York Times where this doctor done found a way, they think, in the not too distant future where they can go inside of a woman that's not able to have a baby. Did you see that? And reach in and take the egg out and then put in a test tube and fertilize it with her husband and then create the baby. Now, how in the hell can they tell me about the world's overpopulated, don't want people to have babies, and they're talking about a broad can't have none, they're going to fix it so she can. And so here's a man sits around and says, the world is so populated that if we keep going the way we're going, it's going to be big disaster. So what do? They say, get rid of the people. Now, those same freaks will tell you that atomic nuclear weapons have created a disaster that any day could wipe out mankind, but nobody's talking about getting rid of nuclear bombs. Now, something's wrong. Because if too many people is going to mess up the world, so we're going to get rid of people, but nuclear bombs is going to mess up the world, but we're not going to get rid of nuclear bombs, then somebody's crazy. And so I say to you youngsters, we have left you a mess to clean up. I don't have to tell you what situation this country's in. Dick Nixon just flew all the way across the Atlantic Ocean so he could hug and embrace the number one fascist freak on the face of this earth, Franco. And dig it, he didn't hide. He didn't slip in the back door. He did it on Telstar. And was just so happy. You youngsters got to understand you're living in a day and age when the president and the vice president will refer to college students as bums and hoodlums. What's wrong with that? He ain't never said a derogatory word about dope pushers in America. And maybe if the president and vice president could badmouth the dope pushers, maybe one day the hard hats, instead of eating lunch, would attack some dope pushers. So I say, you youngsters, got a big job. I meet so many young folks that wonders why the old folks treat you the way they do, why we don't like the way you look, and don't like the way you dress, don't like, well, you know why. Shit, America's crazy. And if you know anything about crazy folks, they always attack the ones they love. That's how you can tell a cat's crazy. You ain't never read where no crazy cat jumped on a cop that had a bazooka. That's right, he always wipe out his wife and kids, and when the man show up, he start crying. And so I say, you youngsters, got a big job. I beg you in America today to understand repression. Understand what it is. I guarantee you one thing, if you ever understand repression, then you'll also understand that repression is more detrimental to the oppressor than it is to the oppressed. You see, let me explain repression to you. Let's assume that all of us in this room today, let's assume we all live together in a one-room kitchenette. Every now and then I run across some folks who don't know what a one-room kitchenette is. A one-room kitchenette would mean that we all live in, well, the room we live in, we take a bath in the room, we go to the toilet in the room, we cook in the room, the ice, we got one room. And you can usually recognize it because it got one door. And anytime you go by a cat's house in a one-room kitchenette and you got more than one door, the other ones are paintings. Sitting in a cat's house not too long ago, looking out the window at 12 midnight, looking at the sun. Come find out he ain't got no windows, he just drew some in. Now let's assume, for the sake of explaining to you what repression is, let's assume that all of us right here is living in a one-room kitchenette. Now, some of you decide you want some coffee. So you come up to the front of the room and take the tea kettle, fill it up with water, put it on the stove, and turn the heat on so the water can get hot to make you some coffee. Now, by the time the water gets boiling good, You done got so engrossed in a conversation, you forgot you put the pot on. So then the tea kettle starts making funny kind of sounds. Now, way back in the back on the top bunk is Attorney General Mitchell. He don't like coffee anyway. So he hears the tea kettle making that funny sound, and he tells two of his marshals, go up to the front of the room and plug up that damn tea kettle. So them two marshals walk up to the stove and plug up the tea kettle. And for a few minutes, you don't hear no noise. For a few minutes. That's called repression. And when you understand repression, you'll also understand that repression is more detrimental to the oppressor than it is to the oppressed. You see, nature has certain universal laws. That when you violate universal laws, nature is going to react. That's what all the noise was about. The tea kettle. You take water, which is controlled by nature. You take fire, which is controlled by nature. You put it on the stove in a tea kettle, and it reaches a certain boiling point. And if you stop it there, universal law is in order. But when it goes beyond that point, you have violated universal law. And nature is going to blow it. But because nature have no hang-ups, she's not nighttime, she's not day, she's not for you, she's not against you, she's not hot, she's not cold, she's not black, she's not white. So before she blows it, she's going to give you a warning. And that's what the noise was about coming out the tea kettle. That was nature's way of saying, check it out, baby. Now, when you get so roguish and bogish, you're going to go to the tea kettle and plug up the hole. You just plugged up the last warning nature going to give you. When a woman gets pregnant, she has labor pains. And, oh, if I could just have a baby without them pains, them damn pains. I've had 12 kids, and them pains, you know what labor pains are. It's nothing more but nature's way of saying, hey, sis, if I was you, I wouldn't go to the movie tonight. But a lot of people look at that as pains of alienation. So one day there'd be some doctors that get some pills to repress that and be some happy women. Oh, we can have babies without having them pains. Honey, I've had 12 of them with the pains. I'm going to have me 12 more. So women start swallowing them pains, repressing them pills, repressing that pain. And then all at once you can have babies with no pain. And the conversation would go like this. Honey, I don't understand it. I was downtown shopping and the baby just slipped out. See, I've had 12 babies. This never happened. Well, I was standing there and looked at the clerk. I said, give me a... There it is. Young kids are out in the streets today in America. And a lot of us old fools is getting alienated. Trying to repress that thing, we don't understand. What's happening in the streets of America today with you young folks is nothing more but nature's way of warning this sick, tired, degenerate nation that she better stop violating universal law and make some quick adjustments or she gonna blow this thing. In a one-room kitchenette, when the water get to boiling, and you go and relieve the conditions that's causing it to boil, universal law is in order. But anytime you're gonna go over and repress the noise instead of dealing with the conditions, then nature got to blow the tea kettle. And anytime a tea kettle blow up in a one-room kitchenette, everybody in that room is gonna get burned, including Brother Mitchell back there. Well, I say to you young people in America today, America is nothing more but a one-room kitchenette. And if she keep repressing her sounds of warning, she's gonna blow. And if it blows, remember, we all gonna get burned. Don't think the good guy is gonna get away and the bad guy is gonna get burned, because nature have no bad guys and good guys. She has universal law and nothing else. And when you violate that, you're in trouble. I beg you young folks in America to understand revolution. I hear so much talk about revolution today. I hear so many people talking about it. I know the CIA don't understand what it is. If they did, they wouldn't be trying to stop it. If young folks knew what it was, they wouldn't be trying to start it. I guess Karl Marx, that weird freak, he really messed up revolution around the world, because he got people reading his old stuff, and he got them believing that man controls revolution. Baby, understand one thing. Man never have and never will control revolution. Revolution always have and always will be controlled by nature. You see, revolution is nothing more but an extension of evolution. And evolution is nothing more but a gradual naturistic change that after long periods of time leads into revolution, which is quick change. When a woman gets pregnant, the first 9 months of the gestation period is evolution. When the water bag breaks, that's revolution, baby. And if you think you can stop nature's revolution with some National Guardsmen, I tell you what you do. You find a woman that's 9 months pregnant, and when her water bag breaks, you get all the National Guardsmen on the face of this earth and see if you can cross her legs and keep that baby in her. The universal law is simple and sweet. After 9 months pregnancy is over, she's gonna drop that baby if it means death to the mother and the child. America's 9 months pregnancy is just about over, and this baby gonna fall if it means death to the mother and the child. In 1930, had the young kids in Germany came out in the street like you doing today and tied that Hitler boy's hand and forced Hitler to tear gas German kids, to force Hitler to gun them down at the University of Berlin, it would have been a better world today. Because Hitler wouldn't have been able to slip up on nobody, because everybody would have watched him, and everybody in the world know as you treat your kids, you will treat me on a moment's notice. So if you youngsters never prove nothing else, you have fixed the world so it will never be slipped upon by America like it was by Hitler. Because the world have watched what we old fools have done to you young kids in this country, and we know America is mad. No, it is insane. And if nothing else, the whole world's ready for it now. As you treat your kids, you treat everybody else. And so I say to you youngsters today, you got a big job. We have left you a mess to clean up. You see, in America, we have violated universal law so tremendously. We have dared put property rights ahead of human rights. Whenever you put property rights ahead of human rights, you can't violate universal law no more than that. See, property rights is controlled by man, and human rights is controlled by nature. If you want to know what happens when you put property rights ahead of human rights, tell you what you do. You get a tight shoe, which man made, and put that tight shoe on that foot, which nature made. Let that shoe represent property rights and let that foot represent human rights. And when you take that shoe that man made that's too tight and put it on that foot nature made, soon you put it on, everybody knows something's wrong, because you be limping. And the cat know you violating something. Say, hey, man, what's wrong with your feet? He said, these damn shoes are too tight. He said, why don't you take them off? He said, they're too pretty. Pay too much money for them. Oh, we got to the point we don't give a damn about nature no more. We care about property. You women run around them old funny-looking shoes on them. They be tight and say, honey, let's pay so much for them, I'll break them in. Yeah, you see bras walking down the street, them smiling, tears rolling down their eyes.